Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. We are going to discuss a topic that has generated much controversy. Please bear in mind that this presentation is intended to serve as a brief overview for the general public. An exhaustive treatment of the matter, covering all points of view, and bringing all the technical details to the table is beyond the scope of this forum. Halacha states that milk from a treifa animal, meaning an animal which suffers from a mortal wound, as understood by Chazal, by our sages, is non-kosher. This prompts a good question. How can one know whether or not the milk he consumes is from a treifa cow? There is another halachic axiom that rov behemos kasheros, most animals are presumed to be kosher, and one need not suspect that they are treifos. Thus, one can safely assume that the milk from a randomly selected cow is kosher, unless data to the contrary is provided. In contemporary times, when dairy farms and milk processing have become industrialized and are subject to the demands of a mass production society, there may be additional factors to consider. Let's take a look. As a result of a diet that is heavy in grain, dairy cows sometimes suffer from displaced abomasum, hereafter referred to as DA. This condition signifies that the fourth stomach section, the abomasum, has moved out of position due to built-up gas or fluid. DA impedes a dairy cow's maximum functionality, and it is often addressed by veterinary intervention. Although there are several treatments available to rectify DA, one very common treatment involves piercing the three walls of the abomasum by making three unaligned holes, allowing for the release of excess gas when the holes are momentarily aligned. Some halachic authorities, have questioned this procedure, suggesting that it might render a cow a treifa, as a punctured abomasum, or keva in Hebrew, makes an animal a treifa, according to Yoredeya Memches Aleph 48:1. Other recognized poskim, including those whose opinions are consulted by the accepted national kosher agencies, have ruled that as a practical matter, there is no concern. Among the arguments for this latter position is that the incisions in the three layers of the abomasum are not aligned, such that there is not a direct puncture flush through the abomasum. Furthermore, the shach in Yoredeya Nun Zayin Memches, that is 5748, rules that an animal of questionable treifa status can be proven and established to be not a treifa if it lives for 12 months subsequent to the condition that may render it a treifa. This may very well apply to DA cows, whose halachic status is at worst a questionable one. Some poskim additionally argue for leniency regarding DA cows' kosher status because the puncture for treatment of DA is totally sealed upon completion of the treatment. Producers of Chalav Israel, specially supervised milk, are also exposed to the problem of DA cows. Segregating DA cows from a herd is an arduous task that requires a large measure of diligence. Mashgichim, kosher supervisors, veterinarians, farm managers, and workers must all be vigilant and cooperate in order to effectively segregate DA cows from a large herd. It must be noted that the halachic status of DA cows is not a very new issue. Surgery on DA cows has been performed for many decades, and prominent poskim have addressed the issue over the years. Irrespective of the status of an animal which underwent surgical correction of DA, there is a broader halachic consideration for an unknown, widely varying minority ratio of cows in grain-fed herds actually develop DA, and one needs to question whether or not this divergent minority of DA cows impacts a larger milk supply. Statistics indicate that 1 to 9% of cows in a random herd are affected by DA. Documented mean DA rates are 1.4 to 5.8%. The incidence of DA depends on several factors, including environment and diet, and there is no set method to calculate the DA risk ratio. Personal research of two farms in one region of upstate New York indicated that one farm had a 4% population of DA cows, whereas another farm had less than 1%. The overall national average population of DA dairy cows is about 4%, but the truth is that the statistical ratio of DA cows in milk herds which factor in for halakhic purposes, is somewhat less than this figure, as not all DA cows undergo surgery, and many farmers permanently remove DA cows from their herds as a result of such cows' poor productivity and long-term stability for milking. How do the above statistics affect the halakhic considerations? On a deraisa, on a biblical halakhic level, we hold in all cases that min bimino batel barov, the status of a mixture of identical objects, goes according to the majority. However, when dealing with min bimino mixtures of liquids, there is a din derabanan, a rabbinic law, which states that the mixture is kosher only if the amount of heter, of kosher substance present, is 60 times the amount of iser, of non-kosher substance present. In cases of suffix, of doubt, as to whether there is bittul b'shishim, nullification by 60, we are lenient, as the entire requirement of shishim is derabanan. In light of the fact that the presence of DA cows in a given herd can vary greatly, such that a random tanker or silo of milk may be assumed to contain less than 1% or up to 9% milk from DA cows, there is a suffix of bittul b'shishim, which would permit any milk. Furthermore, even if one were to assume that the average bottle of milk contains 4% milk from DA cows that underwent surgery, the milk would nonetheless be permissible, as there is a machlokus, a halachic dispute, as to whether such DA cows are kosher, and since the matter is one of suffek, of doubt, and the need for bittul b'shishim is only derabanan, only rabbinical, the result is that the milk is deemed kosher. There is another rule, that kol deparish meruba parish, anything that separates out of a series of sources, among which the minority are not kosher, is governed by the status of the majority. Thus, if there are 9 kosher butcher shops, and 1 non-kosher butcher shop in a common area, and an unidentified piece of meat that must have come from one of these shops is found in the public market nearby, the meat is deemed kosher, representative of the majority. The same logic may apply to milk from herds with DA cows. For even if we assume the worst, that DA cows are definitely trefos, and that the DA cow population is spread out evenly at a 4% ratio, milk which is purchased at the consumer level may nonetheless be said to emanate from the majority of cows which are kosher. Even though every container of milk derives from large dairy silos, which contain blends of milk from hundreds or thousands of cows, the rule of kol deparish may establish that the product before us is considered to be a blend from the kosher majority. Kol deparish applies when there is a known source of iser, of non-kosher substance. Because a definitive presence of DA cows is not known in any given herd, it is reasonable that the simple rule of azlinan basaruba, we go according to the majority, may apply instead of kol deparish. This approach would yield the exact same result in our case as does kol deparish. There is also a halachic maxim that kol kavua kemechtza omechtza dami. The fixed presence of a non-kosher substance creates a 50-50 chance that an unidentified item taken from the source area is non-kosher, such that if one were to enter and purchase meat from one of the butcher shops in the earlier case and not recall in which shop he made his purchase, the meat purchased has a 50% chance of being non-kosher and can therefore not be eaten. This rule does not apply to milk from DA cows, as it requires that the kosher consumer have knowledge of the definite presence of the non-kosher source at the time the purchase was made, in the case of butcher shops, or at the time that the milk was extracted, in the case of dairy farms. In the case of DA cows, there is no knowledge on the part of the Israel of a kosher consumer as to a specific cow's DA status, and that the cow underwent surgery. For such cows are not recognizable, except to veterinarians, who can detect a cow's DA surgical history based on scar tissue. The inability to identify a specific source of iser, of prohibited substance, precludes the rule of kavua. Furthermore, even if a DA cow would be clearly identified as such to a kosher supervisor or a Jewish consumer at the time of its milking, the rule of kavua would not apply to the milk when it is drunk, for milk from DA cows would never present itself to the dairy or the consumer in its pure original form. Because the milk of each cow is blended with milk from hundreds or thousands of other cows at the dairy itself, milk from this hypothetical known DA cow would be diluted to the point at which the regular rules of bittul, of nullification, would apply. Therefore, the rule of kavua is inapplicable. What about trefa non-DA cows? Isn't there surely a certain proportion of cows among the herds that are trefos, especially cows with sirchos, with lung adhesions, which are common? The truth is that even if upon shechita, upon slaughter, an animal is determined to be a trefa as a result of sirchos, of adhesions in its lungs, its milk is kosher. This rule is found in Yoredeya Pei Aleph Beis, 81:2. This is so because of a sfeik sfeika lakula, a double doubt in favor of leniency. For there are two factors which combine to permit this animal's milk. Number one, there is a chance that the sirchos, the adhesions, developed after the animal was milked, such that the sirchos were absent during the milking, which means that the animal and its milk were kosher upon milking. Number two, every time an animal is ruled to be a trefa due to sirchos, its status of a trefa is not definitive, as we're not truly expert in sirchos, and we are therefore strict in determining trefa status based on them. Thus, cases which are deemed non-kosher based on sirchos may actually be inherently kosher. This rule is found in the section of Yoredeya just quoted, as well as in the Tur, Yoredeya Pei Aleph, quoting the Rush, the Ber Hetev on Yoredeya Pei Aleph, Sifkaten Ches 8, and Aruch HaShulchan Yoredeya Pei Aleph Chaf Zayin, 81:27. Based upon the above, even if every milk cow would be slaughtered and found to be a trefa due to sirchos, its milk would be permissible, with the possible exception of milk produced within 3 days of shechita. However, this would not be a factor in practical dairy situations. Furthermore, and this applies to trefas of all types, such as punctured or missing organs, the general chezkas kashrus, presumption of kosher status of all animals, kosher species of course, allows one to consume milk without concern for the possible presence of trefos. Unless one has information to counter an animal's chezkas kashrus, its presumption of kosher status, its milk and meat are permissible. One may think it logical to ask why we don't take a totally different approach and reason that since a certain percentage, possibly 10% or more, of cows in the general cow population is comprised of trefos, and since all milk processed in modern dairies is a mixture of the milk of large herds, which on average have some trefos, likely 10% or more, reflective of the general statistics, why not assume that all milk contains an admixture of 10% or more from trefos? In short, shouldn't all milk made from mixtures of large herds be assumed to be non-kosher? Should we not assume that 10% or higher of all milk in dairy silos is from trefos, and thereby render all milk with which it is blended non-kosher? The Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, again in Yoredeya Pei Aleph Beis, rule otherwise, stating that a mixture of milk from one known trefa animal and a herd of 60 cows that are assumed to be kosher is permissible. We do not treat the mixture as containing additional trefa milk from the likely additional percentage of trefos in the herd. The Shach, there, Sifkaten Vav 6, quoting the Isser V'Heter and Taras Chatas, as well as the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, again in the same location, Sifkaten Yud Aleph 11, explained that we can assume the balance of animals in the herd to be kosher, as Rov Behemos Kesheros, most animals are presumed to be kosher. And the Sifsei Das, in the same location, Sifkaten Vav 6, specifically notes that we do not suspect that the 60 animals presumed to be kosher are possibly really trefos, as Rov Behemos Kesheros is the governing principle. The rationale for this is that each animal's kosher status is established at the time that it is milked, prior to the milk from the herd being mixed together. We therefore view each animal at the moment it is milked as kosher, based on Rov Behemos Kesheros, and its milk is considered to be kosher when it is subsequently blended. To illustrate this principle, let's travel back in time to the pre-industrial era, when a glass of milk derived from one cow rather than from a milk mixture of hundreds or thousands of cows. In this scenario, a dairy farmer who regularly drinks the milk of his own herd will likely consume over the course of his lifetime milk from hundreds of cows. Even though we may assume that at least 10% of cows are trefos, and on a statistical level, the farmer must have consumed some milk from trefos, we do not view it this way from an halachic stance, as Rov Behemos Kesheros dictates that each cow had kosher status when it was milked. Every cow's kosher status is determined individually, not collectively. So too in the case of contemporary milk production, is the kosher status of every cow established when it is milked, regardless of the fact that its milk will be mixed with milk from hundreds or thousands of other cows. Halacha does not look at the aggregate milk mixture and proclaim that the mixture is statistically 10% or more from trefos. Rather, the kosherness of the milk mixture is fixed beforehand, for the status of the milk of each cow which contributed to it was established as kosher upon milking. Therefore, the milk of each cow is ruled to be kosher as it exits the cow, and the fact that a given ratio of milk in any mixture may be 10% or more from trefos is inconsequential from an halachic perspective. The kosherness of milk once again attests to the many and complex halachic considerations that factor into what would appear to be the most simple of foods. Thank you for tuning in.